Good morning. Let's just commit the word to the Lord. Father, we just love and adore you. We thank you that you are so merciful and so gracious. And we just commit the speaking of your word and the reading of your word into the hands of your Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to us through the calm and through the storm. May your still small voice, Lord, whisper to our hearts this morning as we lean into your word. Use me, Lord, as you will. May your words come forth from my mouth, and may they fall upon ready hearts in ready ears. For I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My message this morning is called Being Known. And I wonder, am I known in this place? I'm going to ask some rhetorical questions, so don't feel you have to answer. But just think in your mind, do you know me? Do you know me? Okay, some of you said yes, some of you think, who are you? Don't even know your name. You said it too quickly. Okay, so what do I like? What do I hate? Where am I from? Few more blank expressions. Okay, let me introduce myself then. Firstly, my name. My name is Faluki. I would just have to think about it. I don't know. I'm thinking whether I give you all middle names, but I won't give you all of that because that will confuse things. So Faluki Campbell. We won't mention the other names. So Faluki Campbell. I was born in London many years ago. I'm not giving you the birth date, but I was born in London. My parents were from Nigeria, so it's Foluke is the actual pronouncing of my name. And my father was an engineer, and my mother was an architect, and grew up in London, went to Nigeria when I was about 18, and became a Christian while I was over there, even though I'd been in an Anglican church for many years. Nobody told me you have to say a prayer and ask Jesus to be your Lord. Anyway, I did that while I was in Nigeria, stayed there for 3 or 4 years, came back to go to Bible college, went down to Bible college in Cornwall, got ordained down there, had a wonderful time, got married to my first husband. That didn't work out. Got divorced, but had 2 children. And what else can I tell you? I came to Mills Hill for a while as well. And then the Lord called me out of Mills Hill to a place in Audacious where I met my second beloved husband. And it's just as if we've been married for ages. And so that brings me to today. So the question now is, do you know me? You can answer that one. You know about me. You know me. You know, okay, do you, those of you that knew me before, do you know me any better now because of what I said? Yeah, okay, but still just, so you've been reminded. Okay, so how do you know then that you know someone? What is it about knowing someone? How do you know that you know someone? You can answer. You recognize your face. So about celebrities then, do we know the royals? Because we're, you speak to people, that's how you know them. Spend time with people. Yeah, spending time with people. Okay, yeah, so you kind of know their reactions. Okay, let's flip the coin. How do you know that you are known? Well, there could be anybody in the street. Okay, I met Helen this morning. Is that right? Yeah, Helen. So how do I know that I'm known by Helen? Well, I know she doesn't know me, actually. I know I'm not known by her, you know, because she just about might know my name. I just about remembered your name. But, you know, so there's a lot more to being known than recognizing faces. And just because I said a little bit about more about myself, more than I said in our conversation, can't really say that I'm known by you. You might know where I was born. You still don't know how old I am. There's lots of factors that you might not know about. Well, that's what I want to talk about today is being known by God. How do we know that we are known by God? How can we be confident that we are known by God? I'm going to invite Carol to come and read some scriptures for us. So the first scripture that we're going to read is Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23.
Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.
So, stay there, Carol, if you don't mind. So, it's quite an indictment, really, because what he's saying then is that there's a lot of people who think that they're doing what God has asked them to do, casting out demons, prophesying in his name, and yet they were not known. So they knew about God, they knew about what sorts of things he would like them to be getting on with, and yet he said, I didn't know you, go away. The next scripture that we're going to read is in Luke 13:23-30, and this takes it a little bit further.
Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? He replied, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom, for many will try to enter, but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside, knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, but we ate and drank with you, and we taught in our streets, and you taught in our streets. And he will reply, I tell you, I don't know you, or where you come from. Get away from me, all you who do evil. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you will be thrown out. And people will come from all over the world, from east and west and north and south, to take their places in the kingdom of God. And note this, some who seem least important now will be the greatest then, and some who are the greatest now will be the least important then.
So again, we see that same phrase, I don't know you. And yet they thought they've been eating and drinking and having a good old time, listening to the teachings, and yet they're going to be surprised when they get there that the master is going to say, I don't know you. I think we'll be surprised as to who's there and who's not there on that day, because what the Lord is saying here is it's those that do not just doing the will of the Father, but it's about from the heart. It's about the heart connection. The context of this particular Luke passage was in response to a question about the Jewish nation being saved. Will everybody be saved? Who's going to be saved? Because the Jews felt that they were doing the will of God. If we remember Paul in the Old Testament, he was going around putting Christians in prison, thinking he was doing the will of God. And Jesus said, no, only those that are doing the will of my Father from the heart are the ones that are going to be saved. And in the same way, we can think of us as a Christian nation. You know, just because England is a Christian nation, is everybody going to be saved? But the answer is no. It's important that we make sure that we are known by God. And the final scripture that we're going to read, which is a little bit more cheerful, is taken from 2 Timothy 4, verse 8.
And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so this can we leave that last scripture up there for a minute? Okay, so this particular scripture here, Paul was confident that he was going to receive that crown of righteousness. He was really confident that he would be known. And you know when you are known, and Paul knew when he was known. And today I want to talk about some of the ways in which we too can be known. How we can be confident that we are known by God, so we need not fear that kind of rejection. But like Paul, we're confident of recognition, and not just being known and recognised when we get there and we meet our Maker, but being accepted, being welcomed with open arms. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And that we too will be confident that we will receive that crown of righteousness. If we think about the word know and what the scripture here is saying in terms of being known, and you look at the Greek and you look at what is saying here, two instances are used. I shan't bore you with the Greek, but the full term talks about being allowed into, being aware of, being able to perceive, being resolved, can speak to, be sure of, understand, behold, have knowledge, look on, see and tell. So if I put that into full sentences, what God was saying to these people who were expecting to be with him in glory, he said, I have not beheld them. I have not seen them or looked on them, not spoken to them, not understood them. I don't have any knowledge of them. They have not allowed me into their lives. I'm not aware of them. I'm not sure of them. I've not been perceived by them. I've not been spoken to by them and spoken of by them. That is what we mean by knowing. In James 4:8, we are told to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So can I have a little volunteer? Helen, since but you're regretting me knowing your name now. Helen, will you just roll that out for me down that side? Thank you very much. All right. Okay, if I put that book on there. Right, leave that there. Let me put that down on there to cover it. Okay, so let's imagine this is the way of salvation. And let's imagine Helen is totally unsaved and she's going her own way. So if you don't know, she's going her own way, doing their own thing. And the Bible calls us, that says that the call of God is on our lives and he will pursue us. And he will encourage us and walk us to that place whereby we can accept him and we can acknowledge that he is Lord. And we step onto the path. You can step onto the pathway, a new path. Now, you can see there's not much space here. And the Bible tells us that actually it's a narrow way that we have to weigh when we're walking in the way of salvation. Now, quite a lot of us, and myself definitely included, what I do is when I have good times with God is, can I just take that there? I like to think, whew, this is really good here, God. Do you want to have a seat? And sit down. And so some of us get saved. We pray, we invite Jesus into our heart, and they're thinking, well, it's okay now, I'm in. But actually, that's not knowing. Yes, you've acknowledged him, but you've actually not walked, and David gave us a good example. You've not walked your journey with him. So what is required if we're going to know God is that we're going to have to take some steps along the way with him. We can't just sit still. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, because of the distractions of the world, if you were to just turn, you're not going back that way, but just a degree. Let me turn a little bit more that way. Stop. Now you carry on walking. You can see that just by turning a degree, and if she continues to walk for a mile, she is going to be so far off of the way. So quite, you know, it's like, I never knew you because you're off of the path. Thank you very much, Helen. You can sit down. So what I want to share with you today is a few ways in which we can stay on the path and keep walking towards our beloved and keep obeying that instruction, really, to draw near to God. And they're not things that you've never heard before. I'm sure you've heard full messages on each of these things that I'm going to be sharing. But they are just little things to encourage us to do a bit of a check in our spiritual life, just to make sure that when we get to the end of our journey, we say we get that crown of righteousness and not a surprise that I never knew you. Okay. And the first thing I'm going to share about is prayer. Prayer is a key factor in our being known by God. In Jeremiah 29:12, it says, "Then you will call upon me, go and pray, and I will listen to you." You can take that down now. Thank you. Prayer is talking to God. Imagine if you moved into a house with somebody and you never spoke to them. It would be a bit strange. In fact, the atmosphere would be so thick that people would recognize it if they came to visit you, that nobody's speaking in this house. Or maybe you've had occasions where you've fallen out with somebody that you've been sharing a house with and you're not speaking to them. Isn't there an atmosphere? Well, imagine, you know, God lives in you and you're not speaking to him. Or when you speak to him, it's maybe once in a blue moon. Prayer comes in so many different forms and there's so many different ways. And I'm ever so grateful to God that he's given us such a simple tool that actually we can come to him in prayer. But it's about developing our prayer life, developing our ways in which we talk to God. Prayer of agreement, prayer of faith, prayer of consecration, prayer of authority, prayer of intercession, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of salvation. They're all different types of ways. Prayer of pouring out your heart. And somebody once told me that there's liquid prayers, and that's your tears. And I'm thinking, that's great, because there were times in my life when I've got a lot of liquid prayers going on that I'm just weeping before God. You know, and there's so many different ways. And so the challenge is, how is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? Is it non-existent? Is it dry, unexciting, same old, or you've got your little book, you get out and read out a few prayers? Or is it vibrant? Is it exciting? Is it releasing and liberating? And to be honest with you, mine has been all those things, including the dry and the boring ones. And it doesn't always have to be exciting. You know, every conversation you have with a close friend isn't always, yippee, let's go get them. It's, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, pass the bread and butter, please. You know, it's not always exciting. And so the same thing is true with our prayer life. But it's important that it's evolving. When you look back on your conversation, hopefully, I mean, I don't know Helen, but when I look back on our conversation, maybe if in 5, 10 years, we're still at the same level, then, you know, we don't know each other. But are you still at the same level looking back on your prayer life? Is it the same old prayer life? Well, I need to challenge you to grow in that. I thought the other day as I was coming back from a prayer meeting that I am really rubbish at prayer. And I was actually coming down the stairs and I was starting to pray. And I thought, oh, do you know, I'm really rubbish at this. And then I carried on praying anyway and chatting to God. And, you know, it just hit me that actually sometimes it's not about being good or being bad. It's just about doing it, do you know what I mean? So I just continued to pray. And I was really glad that I did because I just felt God's presence with me anyway. You know, if a little child is learning to speak and they say, I remember my Jacoby in the trolley, all he could say was, hiya, hiya, hiya. And all people were like, oh, hiya. Oh, and, you know, people responding to it. Even that's all he had. And he gave what he had and people responded to it. How much more God? Whatever we've got to give, then it's important that we continue to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 talks about praying without ceasing. The disciples asked Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that really is my prayer as well. And that instead of saying I'm rubbish at it, I just ask God, teach me to pray by your Holy Spirit. And he has been teaching me to pray. And I want to challenge you today to grow in your prayer life, wherever you are. You know, nobody's kind of arrived in terms of got it all sussed with prayer. But really, revisit it. Do a prayer inventory. See how you can develop your prayer. Perhaps you can read a book on prayer or listen to messages on prayer. Or join a prayer team. I tell you, that's been quite challenging. Alex and I have joined a prayer team when you hear how other people are praying. But actually, it's a teaching for us. And in September, we're going to join with another couple and pray together once a month. What can you do to encourage and develop your prayer life? And as you are, ask God for help. Ask God, like the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. Because to me, prayer is a key factor in our being known. Another key thing in being known and ensuring that we are known is about being in his presence, being with somebody. And how are we with his presence? How do we come into his presence? Well, actually, Jesus said that when two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of him. And therefore, church is a key place to be, really. Too many people take church as optional. But Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect meeting together, as some are wont to do. A lot of people go to church for years and still they don't know God. They are over-churched and underwhelmed. Physically present, but mentally and spiritually absent. Just going along with the crowd, meeting people's expectations. Well, it's what we do on a Sunday. Back in my day, that's what we did. We went to church on Sunday. Is that why we go? We should gather together in his name and be expecting Jesus to be here. Matthew 9:18-22 tells us of a woman who had an issue of blood. And I like to think the gatherings around Jesus was like church. There were people who were worshipping. There were people who were there just to see what was going to happen, any more miracles. Maybe they had a bit of the taste of the, you know, the five loaves and fishes, and they're thinking maybe there's another free meal going on. We don't know why they were there, but they were there. It's sometimes, you know, when you have a banquet in church or there's an after meal church, the church is a lot more fuller. But I don't know. Anyway, that's motives there. But why were people there at that time when this woman with the issue of blood had come around? We don't know. But we do know why the woman with the issue of blood was there. Because she said, and the one version says, she kept on saying within herself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And she pressed in to the presence of Jesus. She pressed in. She, you know, people would. She knew that with that kind of disease, she should be miles away. She should be calling out, unclean, unclean. There was a danger that people would recognize her. That isn't that with the woman? Shouldn't you be, you know, that they could stone her for just coming to make them unclean. But she kept on going, and she touched Jesus. And Jesus, who was on his way to Jairus' house, stopped. And he turned around and he said, who touched me? And the other people said, are you crazy? Have you seen the crowd? Of course, there are loads of people touching. But what Jesus meant is that somebody had made a demand on his power, on his presence. Somebody had touched him with a difference. And she came and she fell at his feet and he said, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. And really, when we come to church, are we pressing into his presence? Or are we thinking, oh, I must catch that recipe from such and such a person and I must catch up with such and such a person? I remember Dave Robinson always used to say that church is not a social gathering. It's not a social club. It should be a spiritual awakening. When we come to church, when we're getting ready in the morning, are we ready thinking that, you know what, this is my need, or this is what I want to do. I want to worship God. I want a word from you today, God. As we develop that attitude, Paul says, I press towards that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's a leaning into it. There's a pressing into it. It's not just a passive sit down. As Christians, we are told to kind of press in. To run that race. It's like an endurance race more than a sprint. Christianity is an endurance race. And this is the fueling station. Let's stir ourselves up this morning and do an attitude check. Why do you come to church? Why did you come this morning? What are your expectations of church? Does it depend on who's speaking? Does it depend on how you feel? Does it depend on whether it's raining? And whether you get a better offer. Yeah, my daughter used to be like that sometimes. She got a better offer, then she wasn't coming around to yours because somebody else was more exciting. It's important that we have that attitude of pressing in. As we press into the presence of God, we can be sure that we are known. Jesus said, when two or three gather together, I'm there in the midst of them. So it doesn't matter who else you don't want to see or you do want to see at church. It's about, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Purify my heart. I'm here, Lord. You promised to be here. Speak to me. And if you come with that attitude, he will not disappoint. God will speak to you. It may not be from the speaker. It might be just a word that's on screen, something that comes out to you that actually, that's the Bible verse I need. Or it could be somebody who's come to clean up a spillage by your feet there, who looks up and says a word in season, or somebody serving the tea. God is going to speak to you because you are willing and you are pressing into his presence. I remember coming out of Mills Hill one day after Bill had been speaking, and I was really chewing over the word, and it had been challenging to my heart. And I was thinking, yeah, you know, I really do need to do that, Lord. And I was kind of prayerful. And somebody else was coming down the stairs after me, like, oh, I didn't get much out of that message. Oh, Bill was a bit off today. And I was like, what? You are kidding me. How could we have sat under the same teaching? And one person is like, And I was there just in awe, really, of what the word had been spoken. And it's the same as this, the woman with the issue of blood. I'm sure there were sick people around and about Jesus, but only the one got healed. There was lots of people by the pool, but only the one got healed. Well, do we determine to be that one? If God's got something to say in a church meeting, because he promised to be there, and he's not just coming to be here to sit and to do nothing. He said, I'm going to be there in the midst of you. So if Jesus is here, then every Sunday we need to come with that attitude that, yes, I'm going to hear from you, Jesus, and I'm going to tell you that I love you, Jesus. Pressing into his presence. The third thing is about partnershiping with fellow believers. This helps us more. This helps us to be more than Sunday Christians. Because it's easy to be a Christian and to be a Christian on Sunday. I think it's quite easy, especially in England. It's easy to be a Christian on Sunday, isn't it? But actually, we're commanded to love one another. If we don't spend time with each other, how are we going to love one another? I can love you in the space of an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and a half at most. If I never see you again, that's fine, you know. But when I spend time with you, when I'm visiting with you and you're saying things I don't necessarily like and you're doing things that I don't necessarily agree with, can I still love you then? And this was the powerhouse of the early church. They met together in one another's homes. They shared, they fellowshiped, they shared what they had, and it was dynamic. It was awesome. And I'm finding that as, you know, I get around other believers, I can see their weaknesses. And what surprises me is that God still uses these same people with weaknesses to minister into my life and for me to minister into their lives. We run a life group at the moment. And that's challenging. It's challenging with different people of different needs. And so I'm asking you to do an inventory check, to think about who do you partner with in the work of the ministry? Who do you partner with in terms of being a Christian? And it's equal partners. If you never speak to another Christian except on Sunday, then I think you're vulnerable. The Bible says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you're single and you're kind of on your own out there, you're an easy target for the enemy, but we're stronger together. Whenever I have needs, or I was going for some tests the other day, and I put it onto my WhatsApp group from my life group, and they're like praying for you, and all the messages and words came, which were really encouraging. And then I text them to say, all clear. Woohoo, came back, and yeah, hallelujah, praise God. And then when I met with one of them, she kind of nearly lifted me into the air. And it really occurred to me that actually, by sharing my needs with her, I'm helping her to love me in that way, to pray for me. And I knew from that kind of woohoo and how relieved she was that she had spent some time praying for me. And so really what I'm saying is, by partnering with other believers and meeting with other believers, is that it helps us walk on the path. It helps us stay on the path. If you know somebody's coming round to your house, don't you tidy up a little bit more? Yeah, well, you know, if you know you're going to be meeting up with other Christians, it helps you stay as a Christian and resist those temptations. So my invitation is, come to those coffee mornings. Invite somebody out for a drink, or go take somebody out for dinner. You know, these are the opportunities to be selfless. Or, you know, if somebody's working at the food bank, you know, invite somebody else to come and join you there. As you're working together and partnering together, then this is how you are known, because you get to know the Jesus in them and they get to know the Jesus in you. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the Lord knows those who are his, who pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with all those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. So it's about together we are serving God outside of Sunday. And the final thing that I want to share with you is about praise and worship. The astute among you will notice that all my things start with a P. Yeah, Graham saying, yep. So if we pray, then we are developing our relationship with God and we can be confident of being known. If we press into his presence when we come to church with the right attitude, then we can develop our relationship and be known. And if we partner with fellow believers, we're developing our being known. And the fine thing is praise and worship. Even in the dark times, when we're suffering, we can praise God. Praise him because it's part of the journey. I've come to believe and come to know that actually sometimes it gets dark. And one version we were reading in the week of Psalm 23 says, even though I must walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's like, did you know that path? It isn't just a straight path. It actually goes through some dark woods and it goes through some deep waters, but you won't drown. You know, it walks through some fire sometimes, but you won't be burnt. And as we walk that path, we need to praise him. If you remember Paul and Silas, they'd been beaten, they'd been called liars and blasphemers, they'd been imprisoned, they were chained. And what did they do at the midnight hour? Probably because they couldn't sleep because they were in so much agony. But they started to praise God. And as they praised, the presence of God was just there. When we praise and worship God, his presence fills us. Psalm 22:3 says, God is enthroned by our praises. And so even in the dark time, it's important to praise God. Because I'm convinced that seeds need the dark soil sometimes to germinate. They have to dry, they have to die, crack, and then out comes something beautiful. I remember a dark time when I was in hospital. Actually, I'd been in intensive care for about 10 days. I'd crashed and all sorts of things. I thought I was going to die, to be honest with you. I was asking to see my children so I could say goodbye. But somehow, I was leaving hospital. And even though in a lot of pain, I was singing in my heart. Not out loud, just in my heart. I love you, Jesus. I love you so much. And there was a phrase, and I just kept singing it and singing it. And I was kind of drifting in and out. And then I heard an audible voice say to me, I love you too. And it was just a response to my heart. And I just thought, wow, that's amazing. And I saw in Psalm 29, where it talks about worshiping the Lord, it goes on to talk about his voice then being made known to you. And finally, that verse, that psalm, ends with God blessing his people with peace. As we worship, as we praise, you know, God inhabits our praises. God responds to our worship because that is part of an intimacy with God. And so the final challenge is, what is your praise life like? What is your praise and worship like? Not just publicly, but privately as well. Do you praise God singing melodies in your heart? And I know some of you wake up with a little phrase in your heart, a little chorus sometimes. But yeah, in the busyness of life, you just kind of rush off into the day. I just encourage you to stay with that and just to let your heart sing to the Lord, worship him, praise him. And in that moment, you will sense the presence of God. So, finally, develop in your prayer life wherever you're at. Take a few more steps along that path. Press into his presence. By coming to church, expecting him to be there and expecting to receive something from him. Partner with other believers through the week. Use the opportunities that come up. Create opportunities to meet with other believers and develop your praise and worship life. As we do these things, we can be sure that we are known and confident like Paul that we will receive that crown of righteousness. Okay, we're going to pray and just sing another song before we close. But I never like to stand up and preach without giving people the opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I don't take it for granted because I went to church for many years and had never prayed a prayer asking Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. So I want everybody to kind of bow. I usually say bow your eyes. Bow your heads and close your eyes so that there's no embarrassment here. But if you have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and you would like to invite him to be your Lord and Savior and to step onto that road of salvation, I want you to just lift up your hand. We're going to all pray the prayer together. But if you've never done that, just so I can know who I'm including in this prayer, just raise your hand if you would like to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If everybody keep your eyes either bowed or closed, that would be good. Is there anybody that would like to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? I've seen your hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Okay. Is there anybody else? Anybody else who would like to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Okay, we're going to all pray this prayer together. And if you didn't have enough courage to put up your hand, but you would like to, then as you say this, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to pray and ask Jesus. But I want everybody to pray with me. Dear God, okay, I'll say a phrase and then you say a phrase after me, okay? Believing in your heart, saying with your mouth. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. I admit that I have done many things wrong. And I'm sorry for that, Lord. Today, I come to you. I ask for your forgiveness. I invite you to be Lord of my life. I invite you to walk with me. And I ask for your help to walk with you. From this day, I am your child. And you are my Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness of all my sins. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you got born again. You're in the kingdom of God. So we're going to sing a song, All I Once Held Dear. All I Once Held Dear.